this poem is called Winter Watchman, and there were a lot of canneries and reduction plants out along Dad's mail run that he delivered freight and mail and pastures to, and in the winter there was always winter watchmen that stayed there and lived there when most of the plant workers were gone for the year. Anyway, this one's about Joe Moore, who was watchman at Big Port when fishing months were through, and like the bears in the winter time, he hibernated too. Now Mildred was his faithful spouse in the isolated bay, remaining there despite the fact she didn't want to stay. Joe tried to keep his wife content, but that was hard to do because Mildred missed the cement world and all her family. During the season, 30 men worked on the reduction crew, but in the fall, they headed south, which only left the two. The bay was narrow and quite long, bordered by mountains tall, where winter solace was left when white silence covered all. The doldrums affected the Moors, especially the wife, who sat and knitted and played cards. 'Twas not an active life. Joe ventured out to shovel snow from all the paths and walks. Thank goodness for the steep pitched roofs of the buildings on the dock. 'Twas quite a chore to keep things clean for cannery watchman Joe, as he worked hard to stay ahead of the winter piled up snow. Sometimes the depths of snow was high, deeper than the first floor, so the upstairs window was used off instead of the downstairs door. In colder months, the bay would freeze, locking the couple in ice. As Beeport became a nightmare, no way of paradise. The mailboat's weekly stop was grand, their link to outer folks, which helped the Moors pass lonely blues and face cruel winter's joke. Now Joe devised an airplane boat to meet the winter mail, and could be seen a mile away showing his rooster tail. A snow cloud came across the floe, surmounting the metal skiff, before Joe arrived with a grin, though cold and frozen stiff. The Jacobi idled near the edge for the watchman in his boat, who quickly sped to rendezvous while trying to stay afloat. The rivets in the hull worked loose from the rattle on the ice, so when the skiff splashed in the way, results were not too nice. Joe laughed and chattered with the crew and bailed his skiff with smiles, then off again before he sunk homeward 3 frozen miles. The snow brought one great blessing, though. It kept the bears away, as they were hibernating then instead of hunting prey. During the spring, bears were rarely near, though one might wander by. They liked to be on the grassy flats where the mating urge ran high. And during the summer, the salmon runs kept brownies near the streams, where they could fatten up before finding dens for their winter dreams. The herring plant had enticing smells, yet huge bears stayed away because they were leery of the loud noises night and day. But in the fall, before snow fell, the brutes would often stalk and hide nearby in the alder brush close to the path's boardwalks. The aromas from leftover waste gave their nostrils a thrill, inviting them to snoop around when the machinery was still. This really scared Mildred, Joe's wife. Always she stayed inside, yet Joe had outside work to do, so he remained sharp-eyed to keep the bears from entering the cookhouse and the store. Joe tightly shut and boarded up all windows and the doors. a little mutt, man's best friend, once sounded a warning yap, which saved Joe from a furry foe when the brute was in his lap. The bear hesitated long enough to swipe at the barking pest, allowing Joe to step inside and slam the door on his guest. Now Joe was a constant smoker, his touchy nerves to heal, and yet another reason was a bear's charge to repel. You see, he filled old whiskey flasks with gas to stop a bear, handy in a pocket just in case he was in dire despair. Twice Joe used these bottles of gas to stop bears in mid-stride when broken on the damp boardwalk and the cigarette was applied. As flame slipped high between man and beast, backward Joe would fade, and Brownie, scared, would then retreat into the alder glade. Bear drama gathered over the years gave Joe a nervous twitch and made the watchman often think of an occupational switch. And Mildred was not his first wife to endure harsh winters there, and thoughts of maybe losing her made him think of elsewhere. The last year they stayed in Port Walter was cause enough to leave when a huge bear became too brave one stormy late fall eve. The Moors had retired up to bed while the wind and rain increased, when soon a banging sound was heard and then a growling beast. The dog yapped loud and danced about as Joe got up to check and soon discovered a grizzly bear in the pantry causing heck. The makeshift pantry was the porch on the backside of their house, with shelves on sides of the narrow hall, just like a catacomb. The bear was there, filling the space with no room to turn around, and could be in the living room in one huge leaping bound. With movements fast and serious, Joe grabbed the shotgun near, then stared through the door's windows at the brute's front hemisphere. But he was hesitant at first to shoot the hungry beast who'd broken down the outer door in hopes of a midwinter feast. When suddenly the bear stood up, Joe gave him a taste of lead, and shots were fatal at 6 feet as the bear slumped over dead. The beast may have been trying to stand up to turn away, but this was not the time for chance or gruesome games to play. So now the pantry was a mess and both doors shattered down. But worst of all, the huge carcass caused the watchman quite a frown. Picture the mass of fur and meat inside the back porch door, mid flour and groceries strewn about with blood stained the floor. Beside the porch catastrophe, Mildred was quite upset, and added to the aftermath was the still yapping pet. Joe boarded up the inside door and turned from the bloody sight to sip some brew and think things out while waiting for morning light. When daylight came, Joe started in, as he just couldn't wait, to tidy up the horrible mess in the pantry fumigate. 800 pounds of bear to move was really quite the chore, as the watchman had to butcher it to get chunks out the door. Now, though the place was finally cleaned of blood and grease, the pantry never gained appeal as long as they lived there, 'cause ever since the brownie spree that gave the couple fright, just thinking of the storage room caused loss of appetite, and Mildred was forever haunted by the scary nightmare, and from that day desired much to be far away from there. The Moors did not return again, and some folks wonder why. But to those who knew them well, there was no need to justify. Yet watching canneries all alone in Alaska's harshest climb made the Moors seek a warmer place to spend their winter time. They knew the loneliness and snow which caused the winter cares, but most of all they wanted to avoid the huge brown bears.